The gunfire you hear is the pursuit of a terrorist in an abandoned warehouse. It's not a real chase, but a scene from one of the world's most popular esports video games, Counter-Strike Global Offensive. In the world of Counter-Strike, players step into the shoes of elite operatives, navigating a high-stakes battleground with either the terrorist or counter-terrorist team. The screen displays crucial details like health and ammo, offering a first-person perspective with a diverse arsenal that shapes the game's outcome. We aren't the ones playing. It's the Indian team Optic India during the Extremes Lands tournament. This tournament has gone down in history for something that's about to unfold.
This is real. This kid, my player, has been caught cheating. And everything kind of just went black.
Step into the minds of gamers who discovered how to outsmart the system. This is Hacker Hunter Next Level. Not just another true crime podcast, but a genuine cybercrime series unraveling historical hacks by following the footsteps of their protagonists. Brought to you by Tomorrow Unlocked, the cyber immunity channel from Kaspersky, in collaboration with the team of Euronews Tech Talks. I'm your host, Lara Maisa Ingram. In this episode, we travel to India to meet the protagonists of a scandal that garnered global attention and sparked discussions about fair play and integrity in esports.
Forsaken was one of those hidden gems. He was one of those players that came with unnatural amount of skill.
He was bought in for his brains more than his reflexes.
He did have a past that was a little shady as well, though. There were accusations that he was a cheater.
This is episode 2, Forsaken. If you haven't heard this name before, you're about to dive headfirst into his turbulent story. Esports, or competitive video gaming, has developed into a huge industry in the last 20 years. It encompasses a wide range of genres, including first-person shooters, multiplayer online battle arena, and real-time strategy. To make money, you can dive into stuff like pro gaming with tournament prizes, sponsorships, and paychecks, or get into content creation by streaming on places like Twitch or YouTube and snagging endorsements. Professional players and teams participate in organized leagues and tournaments worldwide, with major events like the League of Legends World Championship, the International, Dota 2, and the Overwatch League, offering substantial prize pools. In this episode, we are focusing on one of these esports games, Counter-Strike, or short, CSGO. First released in 2000, in March 2023, it reached a new record of 1.4 million players per month. And professional players can earn up to $50,000 per month. It's a big business. But as in all sports, also esports, some regions are more successful at it than others. And India was lagging behind.
Historically, Indian teams have never done well in international tournaments.
This is Umesh Kripalani, better known as Crips. He is an Indian commentator, talent manager, and esports caster.
Most of them lost with embarrassing scorelines.
But something was about to change.
All these gamers who had been playing for years and years and years without any major achievements under their belt, all those underdogs had a chance.
A group of unknown, talented Indian gamers were about to seize a life-changing opportunity to disrupt the world's esports scene. It's 2018. We are in Bangalore, in the southern part of India. Renowned as the Silicon Valley of the South Asian country, Bangalore is a major technology and innovation hub, hosting numerous IT companies and startups. There, a popular esports organization, Optic Gaming, took the lead in organizing a boot camp to assemble an Indian team for participation in Counter-Strike tournaments. The idea was to unearth hidden talents in the country.
You could see everybody else around, kind of the light bulb switching on, saying, holy shit, you know, like this is something special that's happening, you know? How do I get involved with it?
This is Jaisal Parekh, former Global Development Director at Optic India, who is in charge of building the team.
We've never actually done a selection process like this. I don't think many teams have done this anywhere in the world, right? And the fact that you guys are here, we're making history, okay?
In 2018, Optic was a huge name in the Counter-Strike world, and they saw India as a developing market. They wanted to be a part of it.
Community was excited because, you know, we are Indians and we are passionate about everything we love.
That's Sabia Sashi, known online as Antidote. He was a gamer who took part in the boot camp.
I started gaming in 2011 in a small gaming cafe in Kolkata. And eventually I switched to Counter-Strike Global Offensive in 2015. One of my friends told me that, you know, Optic is coming. They selected me, trying out for those 5 slots.
They wanted to be India's best team and play a role at international tournaments. With the net cast so wide, players across the country had the chance to prove themselves. Players like Antidote.
You know, I went there, I played only one game, but I was a beast on that game.
Thousands of gamers tried their luck.
It was tough, but some of us, top 10 were selected.
Few succeeded.
I was one of them.
One out of a team of 5.
And these are 5 young men that had never really left home and lived on their own and had to fend for themselves.
We all stayed together because it's a team sport. You need to be together to improve. The mental pressure is immense. If you have to succeed in esports, you need to be tough.
In that unique and select group of gamers, one would clearly stand out. Forsaken.
Forsaken was one of those hidden gems. He was one of those players that came with unnatural amount of skill.
Nikhil Kumawat, better known as Forsaken, was 23 years old when the tryouts took place. They were a huge opportunity, and he performed. Prashant Prabhakar was Optic's operations partner.
We picked him basically because he was really good at the technical aspects of the game. He was bought in for his brains more than his reflexes.
Nishant Patel, esports entrepreneur, also agrees that something was outstanding behind that rather reserved boy.
He was a quiet guy, but extremely skilled and extremely dedicated to the game itself.
But some of the players had their suspicions about Forsaken.
Although people were saying he was fishy, we didn't have any proof or any concrete evidence to, you know, bench him or kick him out of the team.
The team's solidity was put to the test at a qualifier in Hyderabad in southern India. Only one Indian team could qualify for the ExtremeLAN tournament, one of Asia's most important esports events of the time, with a prize pool of $100,000.
Finally, you have qualified for the ESL Pro League Season 8, right?
They went out there, they won the tournament quite convincingly, and all eyes were on Optic, like, hey, you know, these guys have some stardust that they're sprinkling on their players that's working.
They were now ready to compete internationally. The ExtremeLAN tournament is an institution. Since 2016, it has been the unofficial Asian championship of Counter-Strike Global Offensive, bringing together the continent's 16 best teams. In 2018, it was being held in Shanghai, China.
It was the first time the players were flying international. They were, you know, going to this big tournament, and everything was on the table, right? We were representing India now.
The stakes were extremely high. This tournament is one of the biggest in Asia. The best players from across the region are there. For Optic, it meant they can show the world that they belong there.
3, 2, 1, let's go!
It was really exciting because you could just see their eyes light up. They were like, oh my gosh, you know, we're in a whole new place and we're about to just showcase what we're really made out of.
16 teams competed from 15 countries, and Optic India was going into this competition as the underdogs.
First match of the day, we played against Malaysia. It was a very pretty rough game for India. We lost pretty badly.
Winning wasn't really on their minds. They were there to learn and to experience gaming at this level.
There were nerves coming because that was my first international tournament, and there was so much pressure. There was the whole country is watching you.
That was the mindset.
So the next day, we played Vietnam. Must win game for us. And I was having a very good game. I was, you know, single-handedly destroying them.
The underdogs were leaving everyone astonished. They were one map away from winning. it seemed to be their return into the tournament. Yet, halfway through that map, the admins called a pause. That usually happens when there are some technical issues, but this pause took long, way too long. A painful uncertainty. On a video released later, you can see what happened. Three admins gathered at Forsaken's computer. You can see him struggling to get back control of his mouse and keyboard. He looks frustrated.
There's like a little bit of a scuffle.
At that point in time, we kind of knew that this was not going to end well.
It wasn't only a hunch. Jaisal Parekh was right.
This is real. This guy, this kid, my player, has been caught cheating. And everything kind of just went black.
He cheated while representing one of the biggest orgs in the world, while competing in one of the largest tournaments in Asia. It is quite a one in a million kind of incident.
Optic Operations Manager Prashant Prabhakar was shocked. Cheating at this level was almost unheard of.
In China, it's actually a criminal offense to develop cheats, to cheat, to do match fixing. You can go to jail, considerable time in jail for that.
China has some of the strictest rules for cheating in esports. It's a risky game to play, excuse the pun, to be cheating in a tournament there.
And the fact that Forsaken was caught red-handed on Chinese soil made that there was much more in terms of consequences than just his contract with Optic.
Esports commentator Suren Wahimbam followed the developments at Optic in those days.
He was just a dumb kid. He just felt scared he'd get kicked from the team because he wasn't a great aimer. For me, it's very simple. If I love this game and I like playing and I like competing in it, why would I want to cheat? That undermines who I am and what I can do.
Let's step back a little here. Cheating and online gaming have always been two sides of the same coin and have developed simultaneously.
Video games in the early days, they actually came shipped with built-in cheat codes. So you could actually look them up in gaming magazines.
This is Christian Funk, head of the Global Research and Analysis Team at Kaspersky.
So cheating itself is just as old as games themselves, basically. So it has been going on for hundreds of years. People have always been looking for a shortcut or the unfair advantage. And when online gaming became a real big thing, people made an effort to do well, to strive for success. They wanted to be at the top of a leaderboard. They wanted to have the best gear in their online role-playing game.
Cheating is as old as games, but today, cheats are worth a lot of money. There's a whole industry around it.
This guy had a special button at the side.
This is the esports commentator Crips explaining how Forsaken was able to cheat.
And if he presses that button, that's when the cheat gets activated and his aim automatically snaps to the nearest target.
He wasn't confident his aim was good enough. So without telling anyone else on his team, he installed a cheat. We tried to contact Forsaken so he could share his side of the story, but he didn't reply. However, in a statement he later published, he said, "It gave me a slight advantage over my natural aiming, so it was almost negligible to be observed by people around me. I was also very careful to only use it occasionally and hide it after games." He later admitted to using this throughout Optic India's pre-tournament boot camp as well, unbeknownst to the other team members. Yet, he insists that the tryouts that brought him into the team, he was playing clean. So he had the skills.
He was a master at all of it. All he needed was some crazy aim.
In his 2018 statement, Forsaken wrote, "I wanted to win every game, wanted to be perfect in every aspect of the game. I saw holes in the system and I took advantage of it for my own blind, selfish reasons." It was a well-thought-out plan and well-executed until he was caught. And when the truth did come out, it was devastating to the other teammates.
I've got four other players sitting here, looking down at the ground, looking at each other like their life is completely over.
I was crying the whole time holding the Indian flag. And I don't know what to do, what to say. There were so many thoughts coming. What will happen to my career? Am I doomed?
The team was disbanded.
All of a sudden, my achievements are gone. Like whatever I have earned, as a player, whatever I have achieved as a player, everything is gone. Because all people were saying you guys won because of Forsaken.
Forsaken's actions were very damaging to esports in general, and Indian gamers in particular.
It did send Indian esports and CSGO into a dark age. All you would hear is like, how do you know he's not cheating? How do you know he's not cheating? How do you know what's going on here?
This was the end of gaming for Forsaken. He was banned from any tournament for 5 years. He left the scene and removed any online presence.
He went underground, he disappeared. Nobody's heard from him. He deactivated all his social media handles. He just stopped living a public life.
If Forsaken probably used all that smartness, all that deception in the right way, if he channeled it in the right direction, I think he could have been a damn good spy. He fooled quite a lot of people to do what he did. He was able to bamboozle quite a lot of people.
While Forsaken disappeared from the scene, some of his teammates recovered. Antidote, for example, changed games and is now a successful Valorant player. With his new team, Orangutan, he is back knocking on the door to Asia's esports elite. He recovered, and so did India's esports scene. This is Hacker Hunter Next Level, an original series uncovering the most notorious cybercrime cases. Brought to you by Tomorrow Unlocked, the cyber immunity channel from Kaspersky, in collaboration with the team of Euronews Tech Talks. Next time, hacking computer games can be a high-stakes business. Eye-watering sums of money are involved.
I spent 20 years of my life hacking online video games. I was paying, for my expenses, my college education, and things like that.
And what kind of revenue did you generate?
Probably shouldn't say.
And Manfred, the man you've just listened to, was one of the best at it.
Hacker Hunter Next Level is an original series produced by Tomorrow Unlocked. Narrated by me, Lara Maisa Ingram. Produced and written by Greg Muller, Susie O'Neill, and Reiner Bach. Our script editor consultant is Marta Rodriguez Martinez. Edited by John Callahan. Recorded at VoiceOver Soho by Tom Sitchell and Genesis Studio. Based on a documentary series directed by Didi Mayhand, Hugo Barkley, and me. Executive producers Reiner Bach and Hugo Barkley. The original music is by Mike McAvoy. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate it and subscribe for more Hacker Hunter Real Cybercrime Tales. For more stories on how technology is shaping our world, visit tomorrowunlocked.com or subscribe to Tomorrow Unlocked on YouTube. Thanks for listening.